Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, home of the Pandemic Response Network, helping communities stay safe and connected during the COVID-19 pandemic by partnering with local schools, businesses, and faith-based organizations to launch COVID-19 symptom support programs in their own communities. Learn more at pandemicresponsenetwork.org.
I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, the pandemic in review. Any honest and succinct summary of 2020 begins and ends with this simple truth. It was awful. Way too many beloved people passed away from COVID, too many businesses closed their doors, and too many graduations, weddings, and funerals took place over Zoom. Sure, there were some silver linings. Maybe, like I did, you got more time at home with your kids. I know my dog couldn't be happier. And more epidemiologists got some well-deserved TV time. We began this podcast 9 months ago. The idea was a daily on-demand check-in on pandemic-related news and perhaps offer some usually unheard voices and context on what was happening and why. We didn't know how long Tested would last, certainly not all of 2020. Our very first guest was Rose Hoban, and she's logged the most appearances on Tested to date. Rose is the editor and founder of North Carolina Health News and spent a decade as a practicing nurse. So it seems appropriate to take a look back at 2020 with Rose and get her thoughts on how we've come through the pandemic to this point and what to expect in 2021. So Rose, we've spent a lot of time this year talking about the well-being of frontline healthcare workers. Back when the pandemic's first wave hit, we talked about how frontline workers were bracing to power through a really tough maybe 5-6 weeks or a couple of months. Now we're 9 or 10 months on, and doctors and nurses and everyone else, they're treating more COVID patients than ever. How have they survived this?
Well, you know, it all depends, right? Like there's no hard and fast answers anywhere in COVID. It just so happens you called, and you know, I've been working on a story where I've been talking to healthcare workers about how they're doing. And most of them I talk to say they're really tired. They're just tired. Hell, we're all tired, but they get to be more tired than the rest of us. It's been really challenging. And Locke Culp, who's the first person to get the vaccine at UNC Health, she told reporters on a Zoom call some of the things that came to mind when she got her shot.
Over the last 10 months have been really hard. The patients that we get are, I think of situations like, families getting it, two brothers that got COVID and they passed away. A husband and wife that got COVID and passed away within days of each other. I remember a gentleman that went on a golf trip with his friends, and out of all of his friends, he got COVID. I think they all got COVID, but he ended up passing away and the others did not, or the others had a mild case of COVID.
So I was struck by her attitude as she said it. You know, she didn't get weepy. She wasn't like, woohoo, jubilant about getting the vaccine. The way she spoke and the energy she displayed as she talked told me she was just exhausted. And I spoke to a psychologist who's been working with a lot of healthcare workers. And she told me that in some ways, many healthcare workers have been doing okay because, you know, they go to work, they're surrounded by people who get what they're doing. For a lot of folks, they're getting support from their communities. Her contention was that if the healthcare worker was having issues before, then working at this pace through COVID would make their issues worse. Like she talked about this one physician she worked with who, you know, had OCD and how, you know, a lot of healthcare workers really look for control in their work environment and that it's been really hard to accomplish that when you're dealing with COVID. But for some, this has been a bonding experience, right? With their coworkers, kind of like that band of brothers phenomenon. You know, at the same time, I don't want to sound like I'm downplaying what's likely been grueling, you know, what it's been like to be in PPE every day for hours at a time, to watch people die alone, to be the person holding someone's hand as they breathe their last, or hold, I can't even imagine what it's like to be the one holding up the iPad so that people could say goodbye, right? That's got to be brutal. Many of the healthcare workers that I talk to, they all say the same thing. They talk about their profound frustration that people go out there and do stupid stuff like going to crowded parties or visiting their aging grannies without taking the proper precautions. You know, I talk about this, I refer back to this some, but in the early 90s when I was practicing, I worked in Washington, D.C.'s only public hospital emergency department at a time when D.C. was the murder capital in the U.S. And I remember I'd leave after a 12-hour shift and my shoulders would be up around my ears. I tell people I used to have a piece of tape that said breathe taped to my steering wheel. And it would take me hours to come down after a long shift. So the folks I'm talking to talk about the similar things, but they're doing this day after day after day, month after month after month. You know, they're wiped out. They don't want to talk about COVID when they're home. They want to walk their dogs or have a drink with friends or go for a run. Speaking of going for a run, one of the people I spoke with told me he's a marathon runner and that he's run 5 marathons. And he says he feels like he's at like mile 21. And you think, oh, hey, I've only got 5 more miles to go. And then it starts playing with your head. Oh, my God, I have 5 more miles to go. But he said the finish line with the vaccines, the finish line is within sight. But there's still miles to run. So we're not done. And, you know, but the end, like, people are starting to imagine what the end could look like.
So when you think back, you know, through 2020, really, what are some of the sort of pandemic milestones, if you will, that come to mind for you?
Dave, it's all a big blur. I'm serious. It's all a big blur. There's only just a handful of things that stand out. Like, and I talked about it with Jeff Tiberi for his podcast. Mm-hmm. That last in-person joint legislative oversight committee on health and human services, where everyone was crowded into this tiny room at the legislative building. You know, some people had some Purell on the tables, but that was it. And then Mandy Cohen came in and scared the bejesus out of everybody. It was March 10th. And, you know, beyond that, the rest of it's a blur, or maybe more, it's more like water torture, like, you know, a steady drip, drip, drip of like bad news and work and, you know, being at home and, you know, oh my God, are we going to eat that again? You know, one friend put it this way: the days are long, but the weeks are short.
Right.
So, frankly, the one of the biggest milestones is the one we're living through right now. You know, the vaccine is here; that's a huge milestone. But I'm also really worried because I think it's going to get bad, Dave. Like, yeah. I don't want to sugarcoat it. There are people who are going to insist on getting the family together for Christmas, and that means January is going to be ugly. You know, if people don't start getting smart about this, we're going to be running out of ICU beds in some parts of the state, and that'll be a milestone for you.
Yeah. You mentioned Dr. Mandy Cohen. What's your sort of, you know, looking back now, year-end assessment of the job that Governor Roy Cooper and Dr. Cohen have done to this point, but sort of throughout the last 10 months?
I'm going to, you know, it far be it for me to judge, but that's what, you know, reporters do, right? But nonetheless,
that's right.
The numbers tell the tale. North Carolina has had lower case rates and lower death rates than all the other southeastern states except for Virginia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that's your metric, they've done well. You know, I would not have wished the decisions they've had to make on my worst enemy. They've had to have been agonizing. For one thing, I can't imagine what it feels like to be Dr. Cohen, who's presiding over a state that's about to pass 6,000 deaths. It must be profoundly frustrating. You know, there are a couple things I wish. I wish that all of us hadn't had to sue to get some of the information out of DHHS and out of the Department of Public Safety, especially since I got the bill yesterday. I didn't want to have to do that. And I wish that health officials, you know, looking down the road, had gathered members of the media ahead of time, ahead of things getting really bad, and talked through some of the things they suspected might have been coming, and gotten some feedback from members of the media how we could all communicate better. So I wish that something like that had happened. You know, as for like Cooper, the voters seem to approve what he's done. Otherwise, they wouldn't have returned him to office.
So you mentioned sort of the next couple of months here with the vaccine being administered. Otherwise, looking ahead, is there something that you sort of predict may or may not happen, or you'll be looking for, say, through January or February?
You know, it's going to be bumpy. You're trying to keep track of two shots going into the arms of, what, 3 or 4 million people?
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some weird things that happen. Someone will have a bad reaction and blame it on the vaccine, and then we'll have to deal with the, is this vaccine going to cause us to, you know, have more pimples? And, you know, trying to figure out whether the vaccine is the culprit or not. There are going to be glitches in the distribution. I ran a vaccine campaign when I was with Doctors Without Borders. We needed to vaccinate 3,000 kids, 3,000, and there were glitches. I cannot imagine 3 million people. So it's going to take time. It's going to take months. And I think state officials are having to, and federal officials too, are having to walk a really fine line this week. So on one hand, you want to give people hope, like, woohoo, the vaccines are here. But I've already fielded my first emails from readers saying, okay, when do we get our vaccines? Right. And people are going to get frustrated when they can't get it right away. Right. So, you know, we're lucky in this state. And I think I've said this to you before, Dave, that there are some really smart public health thinkers here. It's one of the reasons we have better public health outcomes, even though we spend less per capita than in a lot of our neighboring states. You know, there's logistical experts at NC State who've been modeling the distribution for months. DHHS and some folks from the Gillings School at UNC have been working on a public relations campaign. You know, none of this is going to be made easier by the rampant conspiracy theories and misinformation that's out there, which is really ramping up now. You know, so they have a hard job ahead of them, made harder by a lot of things that are in the milieu, and we're just going to have to watch it play out.
Rose Hoban is the editor and founder of North Carolina Health News. You can hear her recent conversation with my colleague Jeff Tiberi on the WUNC Politics Podcast. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Our producers are Rebecca Martinez and Charlie Shelton Ormond. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Thanks for listening.